And I want to encourage you to take your Bible. I want you to look at your Bible. This is the living, powerful Word of God. And that's our goal here today, is to look into the Word of God and to let God speak to us. So you may not like Pastor Jake, and that's okay. Okay? I'm not saying you don't like me, okay? But really, what we need to do is look beyond Jake and look to the Word of God. And so can I encourage you, as we take, it's not going to be a long message. Can I encourage you to turn your brain on? Can I encourage you to focus upon the Word of God? Okay? And realize that those things that you may be thinking about for the afternoon, they're really nothing compared to what God has for us today. And so just focus on that. And I'm going to pray in just a second here. And maybe there's something weighing on your shoulders. Can you just talk to God about that? Say, God, I want to hear from you today. That has been my heart. God, would you just speak to me through this passage? And would that be your prayer too? Would you do that? As I pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And it's such a humbling thing to stand with your word and to proclaim your word. I know this is not my word. This is yours. And we know the life that comes from following your word. I do pray that you would speak to us this afternoon. Pray that you would forgive me for being so easily distracted by the things of this world. There's so many things, Lord, that I fear. So many things that I think about other than you. I do pray now that in these next brief moments that you would speak to us. I do pray that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God to change us. I do pray that each of us would be deliberate to set those things aside in our minds. And may we be diligent to give ear to the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would push back the attacks that we are getting from the unseen world. I pray that we would realize and remember our position in Christ, that we're victorious and we have the ability to listen to the Word of God. Your Spirit dwells within us, and your Spirit is speaking to us through your Word. And so I pray that we would be quick to just set aside these things, and may we hear from you. Lord, would you speak through your Word? We know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. If you remember, we've worked through Isaiah 40 a couple times recently. Isaiah chapter 40, and in chapter 40, God is comforting Israel and encouraging them to turn to Him and encouraging them to trust Him because He's incomparable. Everything about God is incomparable. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's dependable. I want you to remember verse 28, beginning of verse 28. Of chapter 40, hast thou not seen, God is telling them, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What God is telling them is if they would simply trust in Him, if they would simply wait in Him or on Him, they could soar with renewed strength. Folks, have you experienced that? You know that. When you trust in God, what a wonderful picture is given here of what God does to those who wait on Him and trust Him.
And in chapter 41, as we continue on in our study, God continues to comfort Israel and encourages them to stay close to Him. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Isaiah 41. Keep silence before me. What he's saying there, keep waiting on me. Just be silent before me. So keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. The isles saw and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fashioned it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away.
Amen.
And what God was telling them here is he's explaining to them that God wasn't done with them. He didn't leave them or cast them away. Yes, they were in a vulnerable spot, but God hadn't left them. He had chosen them. And he had something for them. Yes, they probably felt vulnerable where they were. Maybe they felt like they were alone, but God reminds them that He was the one who had chosen them. And He hadn't just tossed them to the wind. Folks, there's many fears that we all face, but one of the top fears is that fear of being alone, being isolated, being vulnerable, unable to escape. And what we see here is that's where Israel's at. They felt like they were abandoned by God. They certainly were vulnerable. They certainly felt like they were alone. They were weak. But I want us to notice what God tells them in their weakness. Notice what God shares with them. And before we read the verse, notice that God never tells them, well, you need to get stronger. Notice God doesn't say, you need to, you know, next time build a bigger army so you don't get overtaken. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, you know, think positive vibes. You hear that? You ever hear that? What does that mean? Okay. God didn't tell them that. Okay. They certainly were vulnerable, but positive vibes, whatever that means, certainly wouldn't have helped them at that point. Notice verse 10. Notice what God says. We'll read verse 14. Fear not, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I can almost hear, if this was proclaimed on the news, God's message this way to a nation in exile, that you'd hear all these professional victims that we have in our world today, they'd be saying things like, that sounds really rude of God. That was really mean. He called them worms. And that isn't good for their self-esteem. But folks, the reality is what God was sharing with them is exactly what they needed to hear. You are weak. You are a worm. You're surrounded by enemies. And you're alone. But you're not cast off.
Amen.
You're not in a desolate place. And the solution that he shares with them in their weakness is really a truth for them back then, but it's a truth for us today. It's the same truth. Folks, just because we're facing suffering or facing tough circumstances doesn't mean that God has left us. God's still in control. Think of the things maybe in your life that you're struggling with. God is still in control. He hasn't cast you off. He hasn't left. He didn't create you and then save you and then leave you all alone. But yet often we feel that way. And certainly Israel would have thought that, you know, God, what are you doing? You see that all over where they were asking God, you know, did you leave us or are we alone? The fact is, he's still in control. Oftentimes we say things like, God, where are you? I don't like where I am. I feel alone. Have you left me? I feel isolated. I feel vulnerable. I feel weak. Notice what God shares with them in verse 10. And we're going to kind of camp out in verse 10. Notice the first command that God shares with them in their weakness. Fear thou not. Folks, that's a command. It's something that we can do. It's something they could do. Fear not. The word fear literally means to be frightened. And I wonder what frightens you. Now, there are good fears. We were talking at our sandwich Sunday, a couple of us, how the burner on a stove is hot. And there is a healthy fear. When you know the hotness of that stove or that burner, it's a healthy fear to keep your hand away from it. But we have other fears that maybe are not so logical. But there are good fears. So I don't want us to think of fears as all fears are bad. There are some fears that would keep us from stepping too quickly over the side of a building. Okay, so there are good fears. There is a fear that we as parents want to instill in our child not to run out on the road. Okay, there are good fears. There's a fear of God. Okay, so there are good fears. But what things frighten you? Snakes. Mr. Byrne loves snakes. Spiders. Maybe speaking in public. Not everyone is comfortable speaking in public. Some people fear that. Maybe close spaces. Gloria, we were just talking about that. Close spaces. Not everybody is set up to go into an MRI and feel comfortable with that or an elevator. But other things, what about sickness? Do you fear that? Or maybe death, maybe finances or fire, maybe family problems, war. You know, you listen to the news and there's a lot that is in relation to possibilities of war. Maybe you fear the unknown or fear failure or being alone. Many of those fears that we talked about are unrealistic. Some of them are. The fear of the unknown. What are you afraid of? Well, I don't know. There's not a reality there. That we'll talk about in a little bit that really should cause us to be afraid. And what God is telling us is that, and telling Israel, don't be frightened by the circumstances you're in. Don't be so fearful because of where you're at in life. Don't be fearful of your aloneness or your vulnerability. Do you ever feel vulnerable? And you kind of get a little fear and that kind of motivates you to maybe go back inside or something. But God is telling them the place where they were at is right where He wanted them. And He had a purpose for that. And so He told them, don't be fearful. So, folks, why shouldn't we be fearful when we are so fearful? Well, notice what God says. God says, when you feel like being fearful, don't be fearful because I am with you. I'm there with you. So your fears are unfounded if God is with you.
Right.
That's what God is telling them. Don't be afraid because, here's the reality, I'm with you. Don't be afraid even though you're a worm. You see that? God's telling him, you're a worm, but don't be afraid. So folks, as I was studying this, my heart was so encouraged because even a worm can be strong with God. Even a worm doesn't have to be afraid if God is on his side. And that's what we are. Have you ever seen a worm, maybe go on a walk in the morning, you see them go across the driveway or something, and they get run over by a car or something like that, or they just shrivel up because of the sun.
Right.
They're in such a vulnerable place, they can't get back to dirt, to get where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But God's calling them worms, and folks, the reality is that's where we are. We're so weak before God. And God says, don't be afraid, even in that position, because I am with you. Your fears are unfounded. So if the God of creation is with you, if the God of gods is with you, then don't be afraid. Folks, think of what our God can do.
Amen.
He can create the earth and everything. He creates you. He saved you.
Amen.
He defeated death itself. And yet, we think we need to be afraid. God, I have something to offer you. I'm going to be afraid and, give this to you. And God says, don't do that. Your fears are totally unfounded with an all-powerful God. Often, this happens at our house often, just by way of illustration. Often a parent will ask a child, can you close the shed door that you opened in the morning so that rodents don't get in the shed overnight? Or can you bring your laundry down into the basement? And what does the child usually say when it's dark out or the basement's dark? Dad, that's why I told you when it was light to go out and do it. Often you hear, I just can't because it's too scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid. And what do they usually ask? Dad, I can't do it, but can you come with me? Right? When we're alone, it's scary. But when we go with somebody that we trust, we don't fear as much. Right?
Right. Yeah.
The same is true here. God may place us in a scary place. God may place us in circumstances or suffering that we really just don't enjoy. And often we feel like we need to respond in fear, but God is saying, don't do that because I'm with you. I'm walking with you through this. So there's no reason to be afraid because you can trust me. And so folks, whatever the issue that you maybe have gone through, are going through, will go through, God's with us. He's totally in control. He's with us and He's aware of your needs. And folks, don't forget that. That God knows your needs more than you know your needs.
Right.
And He knows your feelings. And often our our fears are really just unfounded because God is with us. And if we would just remember and live in the reality that God is with us, we could quickly teach ourselves not to be afraid because God's here. He's holding my hand. And you understand He's not physically doing that. But He's there walking with us and leading and guiding and comforting, and using His Word to help us as we go through these circumstances. And often we do get afraid because we just don't live in that reality. Don't be afraid. I'm with you, God says. And so the circumstances can look bleak. And maybe they look bleak in your life. I don't know. But God is with us. Mm-hmm. Notice the second command God says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You know that word? You know what the idea is? Don't be stopped with anxiety. Do you know that we are in a generation, it's called the generation, the anxious generation. Mm-hmm. It is one of the biggest things that is being dealt with right now. So everyone is so anxious. Okay, not just the unsaved, but believers also. The idea of the word dismay has the idea to look at something and then become so overwhelmed that you quit. Have you ever done that? Maybe you're on a hike and you know this trail goes up this huge hill, and you realize that there's no way I'm getting to the top. My legs are killing me, and you turn back around. That's the idea of being dismayed. Nope, I'm not. I can't do it. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. So overwhelmed. God, I can't do it. I just won't do it. God, I know that you're asking me to go through this circumstance, but I can't do it. Maybe some of you are like, God, if I ever go through this kind of circumstance, God, I can't do it. You know, if I have to deal with this kind of child, if you give me this kind of child, I won't be able to handle it. God, if I have this situation at work, I won't be able to handle it. And that's the idea of dismay. We're so fearful and stopped by our circumstances to the point where we say, God, I just can't do it. Can I illustrate this word dismayed real quick? Can you take a big breath? Okay. It's warm in here. Guys, can you kick a fan on or two or something? Let me share this word dismayed here. Let's say I have this bucket here, which I don't. Okay. And it's full of snakes, which I don't have here. Okay. Let's say I did. And I said, okay, for fun, I'm going to just dump this big barrel of snakes out, and then at the end of the service, I want everybody to go around and pick up one snake and put it back in the bucket for fun. Okay? What would you say?
No.
Not doing it, God. Okay? Vern can do it, but I'm not going to do it. And you know, you'd be dismayed by that. There's an expectation there. And yet you would look at that and you would say, that's unreasonable, Pastor Jake. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Do you know we often do that same thing with God? God presents us with something, and in our estimation we say, nope, God, that's just like a bucket of snakes that Pastor Jake was talking about. I'm not going to do it. Okay? You may have somebody else go through that, or you may give them that kind of suffering or put them through those kind of circumstances. Nope, not me. I'm so dismayed, I'm going to quit. And that's the idea of the word dismayed. Folks, maybe it's not snakes for you. Maybe it's something like teaching a class or sharing the gospel. Maybe you hear something like that and you think, I don't know. That's pretty scary too. Maybe you think of a particular circumstance and you say, God, if I have to go through that, I'm not going to even think about it. I'm not even going to go through that. Maybe God's calling you to address an offense with another brother or sister in Christ. A lot of times we get really dismayed, like, nope, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed with life. Maybe you're stopped with anxiety about the next step in life that God is asking you to do. Maybe you're dismayed with a family member. Folks, you know what God says? Don't be dismayed. Don't do it.
Right.
Don't be stopped. And again, we come to this this question, God, you're telling us not to do that, but why should I not do that? Why can I not be dismayed? Notice what he says. God says, don't be dismayed because he's God. Again, the source, the solution to being fearful and being dismayed is in the character of God. Folks, he's ready to help.
Amen.
That's what God is telling them in their weakness and in their aloneness. That don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. You can trust him. He's more aware of that struggle than you are. He knows those needs better than you do. And so what we need to do, and this is what he's encouraging Israel, walk with me, seek me, trust me, cast your burden on me. Folks, we don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be dismayed. And folks, this is a message that we need to share with those who are so anxious that we come in contact with. I'm sure if you start talking to people, you will see maybe you're not anxious, but people are anxious. And we can bring them to the Lord and we can say, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed because there's a God who knows your struggles. And so the solution is cast your burden on him. Let him carry it for you. Trust in him. You don't have to be dismayed. Wait for him to show his power on your life. Like we talked about at the end of verse 40. Just wait on God and he's going to renew your strength. You don't have to try to figure it out all on your own. So the first command in this passage, verse 10, fear not. Second command, don't be dismayed. And I want us to notice finally and thirdly, he gives reasons to not fear or be dismayed. Notice what he says. He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Notice what he says, first of all, I will strengthen thee. It's a promise that he gives. So don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. And this, I'm with you, and this is what I'm going to do for you. He's going to strengthen us. He promises his power to those who choose to not be afraid and those who choose to not be anxious. It's a choice you make. And when you choose to trust in him, he says, I'm going to strengthen you.
Amen.
And a lot of times we don't experience God's power because we're full of fear and we're full of anxiety and we're choosing to try to figure out things on our way. And what God wants us to do is trust in him. So God's power becomes our power. And so God's power enables a worm to do great things for him. You see that?
Yeah.
So even though they're weak, even though they're vulnerable, God empowers them and strengthens them so that they can do great things. You ever feel like a worm in your circumstances? I love that picture. God ministered to my heart so much by this picture that, Jake, you're just a worm. But if you will just trust in me, I'll strengthen you.
Mm.
Folks, that's what we need. For God to strengthen us. Notice secondly, he says, I will help thee. So I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. And what he's promising here is his divine help. Israel couldn't help themselves. And folks, often God places us what we call a rock in a hard place where we can't go to the right or to the left and we feel boxed in. And if we would just simply set aside our fears and set aside our dismay and focus on God, and let him deal with the circumstance. He's the one who's going to help us. He wants to be the one who unlocks the key to that circumstance and allows you to have great success for him. So Israel couldn't help themselves and God had placed them in those circumstances and he was the only one who could help them. And so God says, instead of being fearful, instead of being dismayed, just cry out to me for help and I'll help you. And folks, God wants us to do the same thing. God wants us to just cry out to help. You know the passage in Philippians 4 where God says there's a way to deal with our fear. There's a way to deal with our anxiety. It's by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And a lot of times we say, okay, Pastor Jake. Okay, God, I still need to be fearful because this is one of those different circumstances. God is saying, no, you need to begin by praying the right way. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And when we do that, God works. Let your request be made known unto God. And we experience the peace of God as we go to Him and as we think the right way and as we act the right way, God helps us in our need. But folks, what happens so often is we don't do this and we don't experience God's strength and we don't experience God's help because we're so full of fear and we're so full of ourselves because we think we have to get ourselves out of this circumstance. And God is saying, stop that. Just trust in me and I will strengthen you and I will help you.
Amen.
Notice the third aspect He shares why we aren't to fear or be dismayed. He says, I will uphold you. I love this picture. It's the idea that God comes alongside us and holds on to us.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, okay, I'm going to pick you up out of this circumstance, or I'm going to leave you in this circumstance. I'm going to pick you up and carry you through it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is.
So it's not that God just props you up. I think that's an incorrect picture of the fact that God will uphold us. It's the fact that God holds us. And He picks us up.
Amen.
And he walks us through the struggle that we're going through.
Yeah.
But we think, I got to be fearful. I got to keep thinking about this. And we become anxious and fearful. Where what God wants us to do is just bow before Him. And when we pray the right way and think the right way and do the right things, God picks us up. And He upholds us and He walks us through those tough circumstances.
Amen.
He's powerful.
Yes.
And folks, I'm just so impressed more and more how God can providentially know. He just providentially works out our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, wow, I had something to do with that. No. It has everything with Him picking you up and leading you through it and helping you. And He doesn't need us to be fearful and anxious. And so often we're like, God, maybe you forgot something. No, God doesn't forget things. Well, God, there's this little detail. God didn't forget about that. Well, I feel like I got myself into this circumstance. God knows that. And what He wants us to do is bow before Him and say, stop being fearful. Stop being anxious. And let me work it out. Let me hold you and pick you up through this circumstance. And God does that. He knows how to uphold us.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, all we need to do is trust Him and obey Him. It's so simple.
I know.
Just trust and obey. Mm-hmm. And notice what God tells them in verse 13. For I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand.
Mm-hmm.
What a picture of His strength leading us through these struggles and their struggles. Saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, and the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
God wanted to help them. I mean, God had placed them in there because, you know, they had turned from Him. And so there was an aspect of God's judgment. But God was so merciful and asking Him, just turn to me and I'll help you. And so the same God who told Israel to not fear and not dismay is the same God who's with you. He's with me, and He can help me. He can help you, and He can help all of those other people that are so anxious around us.
Mm.
Do you ever get around people who are anxious,
mm-hmm.
and you become anxious?
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, I got to start worrying with them. Okay, and folks, what we need to do is we need to stop and we need to say, hang on a second. Have you memorized Isaiah 41:10? Don't fear, don't be dismayed. God's with you. God's with us, and He wants to help us. He wants to uphold you and He wants to strengthen you. And so just, you know, your fears aren't a reality if God is with you. And He wants to sustain you. And so, folks, we need to live in this reality.
Amen.
And we go through these fears and we're like, what Pastor Jake was preaching. It just, you know, when you get in the darkness of the circumstance, it's not that easy, Pastor Jake. Folks, I know. I know. And God has ministered this to my heart. It's not as pretty as the 3-point outline.
Mm.
But what is pretty is when God does it. I don't know how He does it.
Amen.
Okay? But He does it.
That's right.
And if we would just simply trust and obey, He'll strengthen us and help us and uphold us. And it can become a reality. If we would get out of the habit of being fearful and anxious and depending upon God, God would show Himself powerful.
Right.
So with God before us, who can be against us? And so it's a choice we make as we go through our life. We're either going to take control of the situations ourselves, become fearful and anxious, and we'll get all worked up or get all afraid, or we can choose to trust God and live our lives by peacefully trusting Him. Mm-hmm. Folks, is your life a description of that? Peace? Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then we see in the next verse, the peace that passeth all understanding. Is your life a picture of that? I believe what we need to do is really make that choice. I'm going to choose to not fear. I'm going to choose to not be anxious. It's like people are proud to be anxious now. And we hear all the time. I mean, and you've probably said it. I've probably said it. But we need to get away from that. We need to start trusting.
Amen.
Trusting Jesus.
Amen.
One of my favorite songs is that song, Trusting Jesus. Simply trusting every day.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting through the stormy way, even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him whatever befall, even those nasty circumstances you go through. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, He's carrying us.
Yes.
Cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way is clear. Does that describe you when you go through circumstances? Praise the Lord. I'm singing praise. I'm trusting You, Lord. Or is it, okay. Usually. Praying if the path be drear. If in danger for Him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him well, life shall last. Trusting Him till earth be past. And then a wonderful thing, till within the jasper wall.
Right.
Trusting Jesus, that is all. Folks, that's what we need to do. And I want to encourage you, as we sing this song, if you have a fear that you've been hanging on to, I would encourage you to get that right with God. Say, God, I've been trying to do this on my own. God, I've been holding on to this too long. My life is stricken with fear and dismay. And I want to get this right with You. I want to trust You. Folks, whatever God has maybe pinpointed in your life, can I encourage you to just get that right with Him? He wants to pick you up and lead you. He doesn't want you to be fretful or fearful. He wants to hold you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. If you just turn to Him and trust Him, He'll give you that peace that passeth all understanding.
Amen.